Okay, we're finishing up the Tumah V'Tara Sugyas on Chof Aleph on Aleph, where the words are the very top line of Amar Rabbi Yossi. So here, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina is going to say, "I'm Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Machlokas Shenafla Lefachos Me'aseh Achulin Tameim." The Machlokas between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer, where you're allowed to be metame the truma be a dime in order to save your chulin, because anyway the truma is going to become puzzle when it hits the tame chulin. That is only when it's going to actually make the truma problematic, and that is when you have less than one on 200 ratio. Of anafla lamea chulin tamei and tivya kol teret v'tamei al tamei yada. Everyone's going to agree that you would not be allowed to be metamet. So what is this ratio of 100 to 100? Is that what we're saying over here? That if you have a 1 to 100 ratio, so it's only there's less than 1/100 of truma falling into the chulin, there's a halacha of bittel. All the Mishnahs, the Chumos talk about this, that you're allowed to, that whole pile is now considered batel, and what you could do is you take off one truma, wherever it is in the pile, you just take off one thing, and one of the 100th, and you give that to a kohen, and everything else is considered batel. That is the ratio of 1 to 100, and we don't consider it meduma. Meduma is something that's only a kohen is allowed to eat if it's less than 1 in 100. So in this situation, even though it's tamei going in from the truma, so here actually you wouldn't be able to, you'd be able to take off the truma and get rid of it, but the truma and get rid of it, but you wouldn't allowed to give it to the kohen because it's tamei. But either way, it's less than 100, so you're not ruining the chulin over here. If it's less than 100, the chulin stays okay. That's the same thing with all the lards of bittul. So even Rabbi Yeshua would agree that you are not allowed in that circumstance to be metame the truma that's falling into it. And the Gemara quotes a brisa supporting this. Tanin amehach, we have a brisa chavis shenishpra bagas el yona. If you have a barrel of truma which broke in the upper vat of the wine press, and then underneath it, you have you're going to have 100 chulin tamei chulin wine, so that if the truma falls into it, it's going to have less than the ratio, it's going to be batel. Modi Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Eliezer is going to agree with Rabbi Yeshua. The Gemara is asking in a minute. What do you mean? It should be Modi Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua is the mekel one, and he's agreeing to Rabbi Eliezer. He's going to be machmir. So the Gemara is going to ask in a moment. That both agree in this case that you would not be allowed to be matame the truma, because the truma is not going to be, it's going to be batel, it's going to be nullified. So therefore, you're not allowed to be in the time of the chum in the circumstance, because you don't have a hafsid merubah, because at the end of the day, the chulin is staying, the chulin is going to stay okay, and be mevatel, and be bittel, and then it's going to be nullified. So the Gemara continues, the Gemara says, hi, moider Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yeshua, wait a second, like we just said before, is it really that Rabbi Lezer is moider Rabbi Yeshua? That's not true. Moider Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Lezer, that really Rabbi Lezer is being mode to the shita of Rabbi Yeshua is being mode to the shita of Rabbi Elazar to be machmir. So says the Gemara, Amar Rava ipuch. Rava says that we should really reverse the shitas, and that we should say that Rabbi Yeshua is agreeing with Rabbi Elazar. The Gemara presents another answer. Maybe Rav Huna Breder Huda Amar LaOlam LaTipach. You don't have to actually reverse the shitas and say that really Rabbi Yeshua is being mode to Rabbi Elazar. Hachach Ma'askin. And what are we dealing with in the case over here? The Brisa can be explained that the Hachach Ma'askin that we're dealing with the case Peklish Tocho Tar VeGabu Tamei. The Chiddush of the Brisa of Rabbi Elazar over here is that even over here you're allowed to use the tar vessel. Is a chiddush in Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar is it's pasha. Rabbi Yeshua would say that you would have to let it become tameh because it's going to be batel. The chiddush of Rabbi Elazar is that Rabbi Elazar is going to agree with Rabbi Yeshua that if you're able to get a truma in such a kli which on the outside is tameh, I would have thought even again that midrabanan it's going we're normally more machmir, but in this case because the truma is not, you don't have a pasul truma, we would allow you to get the truma in this case with the tar kli. That's the chiddush of Rabbi Elazar, that it's tameh on the outside. Madu seiman nigzar. I would have thought maybe here also the rabbanan should make a decree that you're not allowed to take it in the truma in this type of kli that's tummy on the outside and not the inside, because you're only collecting it on the inside, but it's very easy to spill over into the outside of a problem. So the Gemara says, because Dilma Naga Begabu Truma, because and then the outside is going to touch a truma while he's holding it, and obviously lead to the truma becoming puzzle. So the Gemara says, Kamashman, the Brisa is telling us in Chiddush and Rabbi Eliezer that he would agree in this case that you're allowed to get the truma in this type of kli. And that, with that, we finished the first parak, because it was a little bit ended. It was obviously a little bit hard. Now we're ready to start the next parak of Kol Shah. So this parak is going to continue discussing the Isra of eating chametz and benefiting from chametz. And then the Gemara is basically going to go on for like 5 or 6 tapim over here and move on to go on a little bit off topic onto a different inyanim of Isra Hana. It's not as hard as the last topic. There are some a little bit difficult pieces, but it's a lot easier than the last 7 topic that we've been dealing with. And then the Gemara is going to end up continuing after that. The Gemara is going to get back onto the halachas of Pesach, the halachas of Matzah, and how to kasher things. A lot of how to kasher things are based on this Gemara and the end of the Avodah Zarah. The last 2 topic of Avodah Zarah and this Gemara are a whole chunk of Chelekei of a Mishnah Berurah. So we're going to get back into these inyanim, and then I kind of went out of order. First it was Tameh, and then I think after that we're going to get into Matzah. But either way, we're going to end off the parak with that, going back to the end of Pesach, discussing Korban Pesach. So now, ready to start the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Kol Shah Shemutar La'echol machila behema. So as long as it's permitted to eat the chametz, you're allowed to feed it to your animals. So the Gemara is going to be medayik in this in the very beginning. We're going to discuss what is the diuk to tell you, what is the implication of that. And then the Mishnah continues. So again, machila behema lechaya v'leofas. You're allowed to feed not just the animals. It's really the difference between hema and chaya is usually domesticated animals versus wild animals, and then birds also. Umocher lenach, you're also allowed to sell it to a goy. Umutaban also, and also going to be permitted to have benefit from it. Avar's one, however, once the time passes and it's now Esr Chame, it's Asr Banas, it's Asr to have any benefit from it. That's why we're going to mention other Esr Hana, once we mention the Esr Hana benefit of Pesach of Chametz. But lo yasek b'tar makarayim, and someone's not allowed to light a fire of an oven or stove with it. They used to have a different stovetop. The way kira is usually defined as something that has two pots, and a tanner is more like a trapezoid type of thing that holds only one pot. There's different halachas, ma'isa with Rosh Hashanah and Hilchos Shabbos. If you remember the whole parak over there, parak kira, is that the difference between a kira and tanner. There's a lot of different things over there also. So, but lighting up the stove and starting it up is a way to apparently deriving benefit from the chametz. The Gemara is going to discuss this as well. That point about how it's derived benefit. What are you deriving benefit? That's the Gemara is going to discuss this. And then the Gemara continues, not on this stuff, but we'll get to it. Rabbi Yehuda says that getting rid of chametz is only done through burning it. That was a shayla. Rashi, we saw before, Rashi seemed to understand that Rabbi Yehuda, that chametz after the 6th hour is allowed to be getting rid of any which way you can. Okay, that's the shayla in the Rashi and Tosos. But Maisa, before the 6th hour, everyone agrees, Rabbi Yehuda say that you shall only be burning it. Chachamim say that you could also crumble the chametz or scatter it into the wind, throw it away, or throw it into the ocean. We're going to discuss, could you have to throw it into the ocean as a kazai? So the Gemara is going into that. So now the Gemara says, "Kol shemutar le'echol ma'achil." So the Gemara says, what's the deal? What's the implication of the fact that we say that as long as you're permitted to eat the chametz, you're allowed to feed it to your animals? The Gemara says, "Hakol sha'a she'ina mutar le'echol ina ma'achil." So that sounds like as long as one is not permitted to eat the chametz, so that meaning that once now it's usher, you're not allowed to feed it to your animals. It's usher for you to eat. Now it's usher for the animals. The Gemara says it sounds like animals and a person are the same shita. That's the Gemara says that's seemingly against the shita. If you remember that we had this shita earlier in the first parak, we had this shita of Rabbi Yehuda Rameir. This is against Rabbi Yehuda because what did Rabbi Yehuda say? We're going to see in a moment. Limit mestis to like Rabbi Yehuda. This is going to be against Rabbi Yehuda. Dear Rabbi Yehuda, what is Rabbi Yehuda hold? Rabbi Yehuda holds Yehayka Chamesh in Ochel Vumacha. Rabbi Yehuda holds at the 4th hour it's usher for people to eat. 5th hour it's mutter to give it to your animals, but it's usher for people to eat. In the 6th hour you burn it. And there's a post Rabbi Meir said, no, the 5th hour everyone could eat, and the 6th hour you burn it. So the Gemara says, so this Nan, we're going to quote Rabbi Yehuda now that mentioned this. So we say, Michael, this Nan, we learn in the Mishnah, Rabbi Meir, Ochlin Kul Chamesh. Rabbi Meir says, you're allowed to eat the Chamesh the entire 5th hour, Visrofim Tchashesh, and you burn it in the beginning of the 6th hour. Rabbi Yehuda says, Ochlin Kul Arba Vitolin Chamesh, Visrofim Tchashesh. Again, so Rabbi Meir allowed you to go all the way up until the 6th hour, whereas Rabbi Yehuda had this middle chilik of the 5th hour, where we had discussed that whole thing about the Edus and things like that. That was where that whole sugya came up. So that was the shaila over there. So this is the Mishnah where Rabbi Yehuda of a servant chalashesh, and we burn it in the beginning of the 6th hour. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, we see that you're allowed the 5th hour. Again, you're allowed to give it to your animals, and you're not allowed to eat it. Which the Mishnah clearly indicates that would not be the case. So the Gemara says, fine. So then you're going to assume that this Mishnah is a libid or meir. Is it really true though? Elamai, you're going to assume that now the Mishnah is Rabbi Meir that says the 5th hour to the 6th hour. Ha kol shemuta lechol ma'achil. The Gemara is bothered by this lashon as well, because the Mishnah of the lashon of the Mishnah is as long as it's mutter to eat. It sounds like it's mutter for somebody to eat. Kol shasha ochel ma'achil. Shouldn't say mutter. Mutter sounds like certain people are allowed to eat and certain people aren't allowed to eat. That doesn't sound like it's permitted to eat. Who's permitted to eat? It sounds like only a certain group of people are allowed to eat and other people are not allowed to eat. That's not the lashon of Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir should have used the lashon of kol shasha ochel ma'achil b'alei. Rabbi Meir should have said that as long as one is eating chametz, he's allowed to feed it to his animals. That would have been directly at everyone, meaning according to Rabbi Meir, you go straight up to the 6th hour. There's not two categories. It sounds like in this Mishnah there's actually two categories. The Gemara says, in fact, you're right. There actually is two categories, and this Mishnah is not Rabbi Yehuda, and it's actually not Rabbi Meir either. Amar Rav Bar Ula, Masizin Rav Gamliel. Our Mishnah is actually following the Shita of Rabbi Gamliel. A third Shita, it's not the Mishnah, tells us Rabbi Gamliel is the third Shita. Rabbi Gamliel Omer, Chulin Echol and Kol Arva. You can have Chulin the whole 4th hour. True Melchamesh. So he gives an extra hour with Kohanim, because he can say Kohanim has reason him, Kohanim are careful, and the fact that they're, and you also don't want to burn Truma until the very last moment where you have to. So the Truma is allowed to be in the 5th hour. Like, in a certain sense, he's like Rabbi Meir. The Gemara handled that already. Is he in between Shita or is it a third Shita? The Gemara ends up coming to the conclusion. We say he's really a third Shita. He's not in between. He's his own Shita over here. It says the 4th hour you can have regular. The 5th hour, only Kohanim allowed to eat. No one else allowed to eat, and everyone have to get rid of it. In the 6th hour, everyone will have to burn it. So the Gemara is now saying this Mishnah is a libid rabban gamliel. This is what the Mishnah is saying. Kol shash mutar lechol kohen b'truma. As long as the kohen is eating the truma, and that's why it says mutar, because mutar meant dafka kohen. Only him in the 5th hour is allowed to eat. And Yisrael ma'achil chulin be machayel ofos. So Yisrael, a non kohen, is allowed to feed it to animals at that point. Meaning that's so that, and that nikkud is similar to Rabbi Yehuda, that he allow you in the 5th hour at least to feed it to your animals, but only a kohen is allowed to eat. Not like Rabbi Meir, who says everybody's allowed to eat. That is rabban gamliel. Now the Gemara asks, why do we mention three categories? Why are we mentioning First, the case of domesticated animals and wild animals. Just teach us the same halacha. Is there any difference to them? And what I thought, otherwise, if I just mentioned one, the Gemara says, no, I would have. Tzricha, I would have. I need to teach you both. Because the Tana Behema, if the Tana had mentioned the fact that it was only dafka domesticated animals, I would have thought that, because if these animals leave over any chametz, then what's going to happen? Then you can, these animals leave it over, you're able to see it, because Rashi says that these animals don't hide their food. So then you would get rid of it. Aval chaya, but when it comes to a chaya, wild animals, what do they do? Rashi points out that we have different animals, like a weasel and you have cats, whatever. These type of animals, what do they do? They are going to hide it, and then you're going to lose it, and they're going to bring it back on Pesach. I would have thought that maybe that they should not be allowed to be fed chametz during this time, because they're going to take it away, and you're going to lose it. So then the Gemara says, if I had taught you the other way around, if I only taught you wild animals that hide it, they're going to hide it. And so then if just they hide it, Rashi points out that you won't be over. Because you don't see it right now. However, when it comes to a domesticated animal, the owner does not have it in mind to nullify it. And then he's going to be chayav for and so then imalo. In that case, I would have thought that that domesticated animals were not allowed to be fed chametz during this time. Therefore, we mentioned both characters of most chedushim there. I'm all bothered by the question, but wait a second. The thing that you just used as the chumrah as imishariale, I would have thought that since he's hiding it, that's worse for you. Because you're going to lose it and not finding it. And now the Mishnah is using the exact opposite side of that. You're saying now that if he loses it, it's actually better. When the world is going on, you're using that as the side of the cooler right now. You've just used the same thing that you said was the chumrah before to reason that you should aser it as the reason that you're being makel now, the fact that he hides it. So how could that possibly be? Okay, that's a shayla all the Rishonim. That's a very good question. Lamaisa, that's the point. We don't discuss the answers, but Lamaisa, a lot of the Rishonim, others discuss this shayla. Mark continues now. So why does the Mishnah have to teach us the chiddush of birds? Because there's seemingly no extension of any chiddush that we haven't learned before. Then where it says, I did the Tana Behema. Since we mentioned domesticated animals, we're just mentioning agav orche, really is no special chiddush. Now the Gemara says, "Mochro the nochri, let us sell the chametz to a non-Jew." The Gemara says, "Pshita." Obviously, if it's usher to, if it's rather mutter to have benefit from it, then I'm obviously allowed to sell it to a non-Jew. What was my havamina? The Gemara says, "Lapuke mai tana." This is excluding the opinion of the Braisa, which is the Tanya Bishami. Bishami says, "Bishami omrim loyim koradam chametz lenochri." Bishami says, "Don't sell your chametz to a goy." Bishami is a very interesting shita. Bishami hold that a person has to make sure his chametz is completely destroyed before Pesach. You have to completely get rid of it, and that means that a goy cannot have it even if you sold it to him, because it still came back to you even though you sold it to him. That is the shita of Beit Shammai. And then we have Beisilo Omrim Kol Shasha Mutalechol Mutalimkor. Beisilo say that no, as long as you're allowed to eat it, you're allowed to sell it, and you can do whatever you want with it. You don't have to get rid of it, and that's how we obviously pass. So this Mishnah is coming to Meduyak like the Shita of Beisilo. The Gemara continues. Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseira Omer. Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseira says Kutach. With regards to a Kutach, we had this Kutach already before. It's a type of dish which is it has like sour milk and moldy bread. It was very interesting why they'd eat it and enjoy it. But this is a dish that people was popular. So we have Kutach Abav. The Gemara Brachos talk about different. The bracha was in different yanim, b'chol minei kutach and all the types of kutach. Ashem kor l'shoshim yom kol pesach. He is forbidden to sell it 30 days before Pesach. Rabbi Yehuda holds, apparently like Beishamei, that you have to make sure that you're getting rid of your chametz. So we're mentioning this chiddush over here, b'das Rabbi Yehuda as well. So that's what we're talking about over here. Okay, in the next part of the Mishnah, mutar be'anan. That is to say that when the chametz is still butter to sell, then it's also mutar be'anan. So the Gemara says, obviously pshita, if I am allowed to sell it and I'm allowed to feed it to my animals, that's clearly benefit. So then obviously I know that all other types of hana would be mutter as well. So the Gemara says, well, tzricha, no, I actually, right, that part would have been pashat. However, there's a chiddush. What's the chiddush? The chiddush is for the following din, the din of kodem shecharchu kodem zmano. If someone burned the chametz before the time of the sex hour came, and then the kamash man kidurava, and then Rava tells us that merava charchu kazman, if you burn the outside of the chametz before the zman of Isra'ana, mutabana filachar zmano, then whatever remnant is left over, then it is in fact going to be mutter. So this is the shaila over here. Rashi seems to indicate that the point where it's no longer taste and no longer recognizable, then it's going to lose its status as chametz. The Achronim just point out that the Sfasema says this and others, that Lamaisa, this seems to be a machlokas rishonim, because that's actually not even the way we paskin. I'm pretty sure we paskin like the other shita, Tosfos and Rebbeinu David and others shown him that hold that the level of which chametz has to be is roi la'achilas kelev. It has to be enough that it's no longer even fit for a dog. So that is the shayla. The different shittas of here. Rashi seems to disagree with that geder, as he's giving. He seems to be indicating that the geder over here has a long longer taste and appearance is recognizable. Now, either way, so that's what again. So that's the chiddush over here. That if you got it to that point, if you did that before Pesach had started, then the item itself is not going to whatever's left over of it. You can have it. The shayla. Are you allowed to eat that at all? That's the shayla in the Rishonim. Okay, but that's a lameisa that you're allowed to have benefit from whatever is left over because it's not considered chametz bichlal anymore. The Gemara says avar zmano aser b'hanasa. So if it's after the time, then it's going to be aser b'hana. So the Gemara now says pshita that this is obvious. Why would you have to tell me that? I know that after this man of chametz, it's going to be an eser d'oraisa to have benefit from it. So this is a shayla. The Rashi. Rashi doesn't think that this should be the Girsa Pshita. We're going to see the Gemara is going to discuss it in the moment of a Shalos Darabanan, but Rashi is bothered by this because he's, Lameisa, we have a Shita, the Gemara is going to mention this, is Rabbi Yossi HaGalili, who says that one is allowed to have benefit from Pesach, from Chametz rather, during Pesach. That you're allowed to benefit from it, so therefore, even though it's obvious our Mishnah is arguing with Rabbi Yossi HaGalili, you can't say Pshita, there's another Tana who held differently. So Rashi doesn't like the Girsa Pshita, Lameisa, that is our Girsa though. Those seem to justify what it is, but that's our gear. The Gemara continues. So the Gemara says, so then, lo tzricha, so this is only going to be caught, why do I need this? Why is there a chiddush in the Mishnah to tell me that avar zmano is asher b'hana, that after the time it's going to be asher b'hana? The Gemara says, because l'sha'os d'rabbanan, it's telling you the hours in which chametz is asher m'd'rabbanan, meaning the sixth hour, then there's a chiddush over there, that even there it's asher b'hana, and that's as we saw in Dav Zayin, the Gemara is about to quote this meme, the Rishon just bothered by l'sha'os d'rabbanan. What do you mean sha'os? It should be sha'a. Sha'a d'rabbanan. It's only 1 hour. It's only the 6 hours asher b'd'rabbanan. Nothing else. So they say maybe we're following the other Tanayim that held the 5th hour is asher also. That's a shaila exactly what was going on over here. But Lameisa, it says sha'os. It really should be the 6th hour. That's according to everybody. It seems to be indicating that we're clearly talking about the 6th hour. Because we're going to see from the proof also. Demar of Gidom, Rav Yichia, Rav Yosef, Rav Chinuch. Ochanan, this was the Gemara on Dav Zayin. Hamekadosh b'sheish shalos ulmalav. Someone marries a woman with the, again, you need something that's a shave pruta. You need something of value worth a minimum of a pruta. Let's say whatever it is nowadays, like a dollar. So you need something a minimum of a dollar to a cottage where it wasn't worth a dollar. That's not considered monetary value. There's many halachas like that. If you steal less than a shavar pruta, you're not going to be chayav hashav tishiv. You don't have to give it back necessarily. Different things of a me'ila behekdish is only a pruta. Again, shavar pruta is usually the standard for what a minimum share is for monetary value. So here, if you do it, so what happens over here? You isra and nara are usually considered not yours. They're not considered yours, so you don't have the, you can't have benefit from something that's not yours. It's not worth anything to you. So here, if it's Mekadosh Sheshos Malav, after the 6 hours, so only Midar Abundance is the Midarayas, it's fully Mutter, Afila Bechite Kordisa. Even with the Chute Kordisa, which we mentioned before, this type of hard wheat, this very hard surface wheat, that they would grow there and they would not easily become Chametz, so it's really only Chashash that they're really fully Chametz, still, in Choshen Lekadusha, in that point, we are not going to be Mekadosh over here. Velsha just points out that it's possible that really two Chedushim, because really it's an Isser Derabanan, and not only is an Isser Derabanan, it's a Zman Derabanan, it's a Trey Derabanan, and yet we're still saying this halacha. So he wants the time that some Rishonim really only hold, it would be only that the really full-fledged Deraisa and the Chedurasa, whatever, he gets into how that could be. Lameisa, he's just pointing out the Pashas, it seems to be that it's really two Derabanans, and yet we're going to follow the following rule, that if a person uses that, the Kedushin is not Chal, and that was what Rashi discussed to Richos. This is a big sugya, Shas sugya, a very big Be'in sugya that many yeshivas spend a lot of time on, in the concept of Afkinu, called the Kaddish and Maidaita de Rabbanan. Kaddish Tashman Gemara is that anyone who is Mekaddish, a woman, is doing it with the approval of the Rabbanan. That's why he says, Arayat Mekaddash is Kaddash Moshe B'Israel. The Kaddash Moshe is telling you they want the approval of the Rabbanan. So he's saying that if the rabbis don't agree to my Kedushin, then it's a shaila nirshonim, what the mechanism. That's why I'm saying it's so much yeshivish, a lot of lumdus behind it, a lot of deep analysis of exactly what the mechanism is working through. Rashi said before that was like hefker based in hefker, that we know that based on the ability to make anything that you own ownerless. They can establish that your house basically is not your house anymore. Based on the right, whatever the koach and is out, that's maybe that's what's going on over here, that they're mafker the money, that it wasn't worth anything, and really you're not being Mekadosh. Others say that it's like a Tanai, that you're saying that called the Mekadosh, that the Rabbanan Mekadosh, is similar thing that Miriam has Lashon, is that you're saying that like it's Almanas, that I want someone to accept it. Like you can make a Kiddush in Almanas that my father wants me to get married to you. So then if the father doesn't want to get married to you, the Gemara Kiddush says that it's not Chal. So we see maybe that's what, that's how the Hefker, that's how the idea of Afkinu is working, that they have the ability to remove your Kiddush. So here, either way, because the point is that Midoraisa, this whole question comes up because Midoraisa, it is monetary value. Midoraisa, you were allowed to be Mekadosh. Midoraisa, she's a married woman. So someone who has relations with her is chayav misa. Someone who's then going to marry her is chayav misa also. There's no inkadushin chal of their kadushin. So how is it that she's allowed to get remarried with no get, no nothing? So that was the point. That's what we're saying over here, that the kadushin is not chal, because of that's the mechanism, that was the shayla of how afkina works. But that's what's going on over here. And that's what the Mishnah was stating. Now we continue. The Mishnah continues with lo yasik bo tonar vekirayim. Someone is not allowed to light a stovetop in an oven with these two, with these Isra Hana, the Isra Chamis after this man. The Gemara says it's obvious, Pshita, that's obviously going to be benefit from this. The Gemara says, no, maybe, Lotzricha le Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Ein Bira Chamis le Shrivim. Maybe this is actually only labeled the Rabbi Yehuda, the Chiddush is within Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that you can only do Shrivas Chamis by burning them. Sagad, I dechamina, Rabbi Yehuda, Mitzvah, but Shrivah. What if the Rabbi Yehuda holds the Chamis generally is Dafka, should be burnt, Bada de Kasarfle, Le Sanaminai, Kamashman, that while you're burning it, then you're also getting the Hana, maybe that's going to be the point. So maybe we're really tying, according to Rashi, and the way Achronim are explaining the Rashi, is that since we're assuming that this is only Derabanan, Zman, we're only talking that this was in the 6th hour. Even Rabbi Yehuda would have no Havamina that this would be the case in the 7th hour. The Meister Rabbi Yehuda might not even hold of Shreifas Chametz, as you mentioned yesterday's daf. That Rabbi Yehuda might not even hold of it after the 6th hour. But either way, even if this Shaila is only in the 6th hour, where I would have thought, since it's only Darabanan, I would have thought maybe Darabanan would agree that the benefit here, since anyway you're in the process of getting rid of it, so in the process of doing the mitzvah, so then I would have thought maybe there that the Isra Anah is not going to apply. Kamash Malan, that really, no, there is an Isra Anah, Lefid Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara continues, the Gemara calls the Amar Chiskia, Minayin L'chametz HaPesach She'asr Banah. Chiskia says, where do I know that it's Asr to be Nehner from Chametz and Pesach? Shenemar, Lo Ye Achel Chametz, Lo Ye Tabo Achila. The Pasuk says, Lo Yochal, rather, and that's what Rashi is pointing out, that it's really lo yochal, and we read it as lo yachel. So really, it's a diktuk over here. Lo yochal is implying that I shouldn't eat the chametz, which is more direct applying to me. Lo yachel is much more, it shouldn't be eaten by anyone. It sounds like much more inclusive. But what's that including? Chizkos understanding lo yachel dafka means that it's mean to any other monetary value from it. Not just that it shouldn't be eaten, but any benefit should be done. It's a much more inclusive word, because it could have just said, don't eat it. The lo yachel is a much more inclusive word. It's teaching you that it's even asr b'hana. So the Gemara says, lo yachel b'etar achila, and therefore you don't have, there's Israel. So the Gemara says, naitama dekasa rechmana lo yachel chametz. The pasuk, because of the way we're learning it out, is from the fact that it says lo yachel, it shouldn't be eaten, as we mentioned. Halokas of lo yachel, if it didn't say this lashon of lo yachel, it shouldn't be eaten in this lashon, havamina isra achila mashma isra na lo mashma. I would have thought that the Gemara is fleshing out the opinion of Chizkia. Chizkia's understanding that if it doesn't say lo yachel, it shouldn't be eaten. If it just says lo yochal, lo yitzochal, as we're going to see, Rabbi Baz is going to disagree, that those would just not, that would not imply that it's us or behana, us to derive benefit. The Gemara points out that that's machlokas, the pligi Rabbi Abba. This is a machlokas. Rabbi Abba disagrees with this. Rabbi Abba was Rabbi Abba, who says, komakam shemar lo yochal, lo sochal, and lo sochil, all three of those loshonos are going to imply echad esar achila, echad esar nabe mashma, chifar lecha kazak, gudar shabar lecha menavela. That Rabbi Abba learned out that anywhere it says lo sochal, lo sochilu, and lo yochal, those three, sorry, right out of order, that's the lashon of the Gemara, it was lo yochal, lo sochal, lo sochilu, those loshonos, I'm not eating it. That implies that also it's going to be usher to have benefit from it, as unless the Torah goes out of its way to specify that it's going to be a mutter, as it does by Nevela. What's the case by Nevela? Let's see. The sign of the Braisa quotes, Lo sochol kol Nevela ager shebishrachat in Nevela machor l'narche. The pasuk specifically goes out of its way by Nevela to say that you shouldn't eat any Nevela, any dead animal. Dead animal body, to dead animals, that again, they're not done through proper shmita, that you should give them to a ger. Over here, who is this ger? So generally, it's a shiloh. Whenever we have the ger, Machlokas Tanayim, Rashi quotes a ger over here, in this context, is someone who is someone who accepts the Sheva mitzvahs min Noach. So my Machlokas Tanayim about this. Some say that it means only Avodah Zarah. Some say, no, he accepts all the mitzvahs except for Nevela. So it's different shilohs. He's not a Jew. But we have other halachas, like you can give him a present, Lo Sechanim doesn't apply to him. There's an Israel derisa to give a present to a goy, and how to get around it nowadays, shiloh. Lo sochanim doesn't apply to him, and that lo sisin lo chanaya bekarka, don't give him land in Eretz Yisrael, is also not an iser for this ger, whoever he is, whatever the status is. Rashi here is saying that he's someone who's mekabel shev mitzvah Noach. There's another shaila that you have to do in front of a beis din. The shaila in the maestro nowadays, because someone wanted to tie it up for the one of the reasons had to mechira, you have to assume maybe that's a ger. If you assume it's a ger toshav, it's enough sniff like kukula, is that, so that's a shaila over here. First of all, do they keep the shev mitzvah Noach? Lo sirtzach is not so pashat by some of the people who are living, the Palestinians who are living in Eretz Yisrael. So either way, okay, I'm not getting into politics right now. I'm just pointing out that there's a shaila about how to understand who is a ger toshav. So the Gemara then says, So then Gemara, again, the drush right now is teaching us specifically that here in this case where it says that it's losochil, and so it's out of the way to tell you that I can give it to this ger or machle nachri or sell it to a nachri. Nachri is someone who's not mekabel the sheva mitzvahs min noach. Whoever the status of someone mentioned before, he's just a regular goy on the streets. So the Gemara says ainli ala ger benesina. So I now know that a ger I can only give it to him by a gift. Nachri mechir and dafka selling it to a nachri. Like ger mechir. How do I know that I can even sell it to a ger? So the Gemara says, "Talmud Lomar, Lager Shabashrachat Ina Omachor." The pasuk says, "Omachor is telling you that you're allowed to sell it to him as well." So we just said it. That only be gift, give it to him as a gift. It would have just said that you should have given it to him. It doesn't say that the lashon of Omachor is an extra reboy to teach you that a ger can be given it as a gift. How do I know that even a nachri as a mechir rather to sell it to a ger? How do I know if you even give it to a gift? To a nachri, normally you shouldn't give a gift to a nachri. Here it specifically says, "Talmud Lomar Tidena Va'achla Amachor LeNachri." The pasuk says that you should give it to him specifically to a nachri, Tidena Va'achla to give it to him, and then Machor LeNachri. Nimtzei Somer Echad Ger Ve'Echad Nachri Ben Mechir Ben Menasina Derim. Meir is learning out from here that even though the pasuk says about Achilas Navela, we learn from here that specifically has to go out of its way to teach you that there is a Heter Hana. Why does the Torah have to go out of its way to teach you that there is a Heter to have benefit from it? Clearly implies that the rest of the time the Torah would use this Lashon, it would in fact be a problem to have benefit from here. That's what Yeshiva B'Shitas Rabbi Meir, that's how Rabbi Abo is apparently learning from the Shita of Rabbi Meir. Now the Gemara quotes Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with this. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Devarim Kitzav, and the Pasuk is as I mentioned, that Dafka, the Ger is Minasina, you can only give it to a Ger as a present, and by a non-Jew, just a regular non-Jew, is by selling it to him. So that's why you're not allowed to give it to him as a present, you're not allowed to sell it to the ger. Whereas it's my time with Rabbi Yehuda, whereas Rabbi Yehuda learned the way he does, because Rabbi Yehuda responds, because if you want to learn like Rabbi Meir learned, the pasuk would have just combined it together and said that you should give it to the ger and then also umachor to sell it to him. Olamali, it tends to split up the pasuk. The pasuk says, it should say, it says, oh, machor. It sounds like, oh, is dividing the pasuk, implying that there's a specific halacha of nesina for one section, and that is for a ger, and then, oh, machor the nachor is dafka, that you should dafka sell it to the nachor. That's how he learns from ana, dvarim kichsavam, that we see from over here, that this is the lashon of dvarim kichsavam, that at the end of the day, that nevela is allowed to be given to a ger, or only a mechira, specifically to a nachri, but not the reverse. That's what we're learning from over here. The Gemara continues analyzing Rabbi Meir. What is he darsh with the O of Rabbi Yehuda? The Gemara says Rabbi Meir, oh, la'aktim nesina the ger, the mechira the nachri, that the lashon of of giving it, or is that, well, it's not dividing the pasuk, rather it's giving you, there is a division. The division is to teach you a chiddush that you should give precedence and give it first to a ger, and then only after should you sell it to a goy. This applies also to a Jew in general also, that obviously culture came, but a goy, a Jew, you should give to a present first before giving, even selling it to a nachri. But myself, there's a hefse, that's a real monetary loss, and the post can already bring down. Obviously, you don't need to give it to a present to the Jew. You can sell to a non-Jew. That's similar to Shaila about, let's say, even giving a loan. If you're able to loan a Jew, which is obviously a big tzedakah and a chesed, but the mice, if you're able to loan a Jew, and you also, but you'd make a lot of money on interest to a non-Jew. So do you have a chiyuv to do the Jew who's going to give it back to free? So I think the post can bring that over there, if I'm not mistaken, that there, that's considered a hefsed. You wouldn't have a chiyuv. It'd be obviously a nice thing to do, but we're not a full-fledged chiyuv for you to do that. Okay, now the Gemara continues. Rabbi Yehuda, halo tzarech k'ra. Rabbi Yehuda points out that we don't need an extra pasuk for this because kevan de ger at the mitzvah l'achyoso. I don't need to teach you a chiddush that this should come first. For sure, a ger you should give precedence of the ger of the person. Was mekabel the shev mitzvah of Noach? We have no mitzvah of sustaining and giving him sustenance for. We're going to see in a moment what the machlokas is how far that goes. For a ger, there is a mitzvah for a ger toshev to give him tzedakah in some form. Lo tzarech kara svaro, because I don't need a pasuk because it's a svara. Therefore, so then the pasuk would be a svara. In which case, at that point, so then I would be telling you that the chiddush was clearly to tell us. This halacha is specifically to divide them. Now, it just points out in the Shaila and the Achronim is that when you say ger atamatu v'lafkil, so how far does that go? Is it mamish to give them tzedakah and like have a chiyuv to make sure that they're taken care of fully? So that's a Shaila. The Ramban in the Sagas of the Rambam seems to indicate that the only chiyuv is really just to make sure that they don't die. That you have to save them from misa, whatever that might be. So then if he's very poor, you don't have a chiyuv to necessarily give him more than that. However, the Avnei Ezra is all true about this. They indicate that, no, you would have a chiyuv to make their lives better and improve their lives, and more than just the form of saving their lives. Interesting shaila. Now the market is Bishlam, the Rabbi Meir. So now I understand for Rabbi Meir, the Amar Echad gave Echad Nachar, Ibn Mechir Ibn Nesina. Whether it's through the selling or giving, but it's a chrala mishra nevela ba'na, from the fact that the pasuk needs to allow a nevela for benefit, a kol asurim shabbat Torah, asurim bein machila ba'na. Then all the asurim bein Torah are going to be our asur, whether with eating or with benefit. So we're learning from here, and I understand according to Rabbi Meir, that's the pasuk specifically has to go out of its way to mention it. So Tosfos asks the question, wait a second, the Gemara, what's so difficult to hear? The Gemara just told us that Rabbi Meir needs the pasuk, is needed to give a precedent. So he uses the pasuk. What's going on over here? So Tosfos answer that, yes, I would have learned it as a svara, but at the end of the day, and the fact that the pasuk goes out of its way, then once the pasuk has its drasha, that's the pasuk going saying something explicitly, not just a svara. So now the Gemara continues. El Rabbi Yehuda. So what does he do? What is he going to call the Rabbi Sirmat Torah? Another that's Sirmat Na. So how do I know that when the other things mentioned in the Torah are going to be Asir Ba'na? Besides for just eating them physically. So the Gemara answers. So that the pasuk says the drasha is at also at Mashich LeKelav Yata Mashich LeKelav Sirmat Torah. Because LeKelav Tishchun also is a pasuk in reference to a treifa. A treifa, it says that I'm allowed to feed to a dog. So we learn that from Oso, only this am I allowed to feed to a dog. The lashon of Oso, this dafka am I allowed to feed to a dog, and nothing else am I allowed to feed to a dog. Meaning other isra hanar, other isra, things I'm asur benefit, I'm not allowed to feed to my animals. Rashi just points out, why isn't the actual pasuk itself? Why didn't Oso, the whole pasuk telling you that the Torah is going out of its way to tell you that you're allowed to have anah from the treifa, and that implies other things I'm not allowed to have anah by giving it to just like the exact drasha that we had by the nevela. Why don't you use that for the treifa? The fact that the Torah goes out of its way to tell you that you have a specific heter over here to give this to the dog, then I would have thought, then obviously kavachomer, I can learn out from there that the rest of the time in the Torah I would say that you're not allowed to have anah from it. So Rashi just points out, because I would have thought out that the Torah is giving you the line of the Torah is giving you another lesson that you daf give it to the dog, as we know lo yechratz kelav ashona, that the dog went out of its way not to bark when Klal Yisrael was leaving, and we reward the dog with the treifa, as Chazal learned that Rashi quotes in Chumash over there. So we see that that's what I would have thought. So that's the Kamash Malan, the Chiddush is that Oso is the drasha, that from the whole reason the Torah goes out of its way to touch you a dog, it's not necessarily a raya that the rest of the Torah is going to be Asar Be'ana. Okay, Mr. Shem, we'll pick up with Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shem tomorrow.